Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia metro area, check out 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com for a good time. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is brought to you live from the new media capital of the world and hometown of the St. Petersburg Times, NewsU, and the Poynter Institute, St. Petersburg, Florida. Religious beat at ABC News, Elizabeth Vargas would probably be the reporter assigned to cover it. This Friday night, April 2nd at 10 p.m., the 2020 anchor tells the story of four saints, or sainthood candidates, from around the United States. It's no coincidence the tale will be told on Good Friday, just days ahead of Easter, which celebrates the resurrection of Christ. Here's an audio excerpt from the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given me.
So what can you do today that you couldn't do before?
Walk. I happened to look at the picture of Pope John Paul II, and I just got up.
You just got up? After years of not being able to walk?
5 years. Just got up and started walking. The more I kept walking, the more, thank you, Lord, just the more I kept going and back. That's it. When my son came home, he saw me.
Pretty surprised me. It wasn't something that I thought I would ever see.
I came home and he's standing there and he's like, do you notice anything different? And I'm looking at him and, you know, who looks at their husband? You come home every day and you see him and you just say, hey, how's it going? So I'm looking at him and I'm like, you didn't get a haircut, you know? It took me like 30 seconds to realize he's standing there. No crutches, he's not leaning on anything, he's not holding on to anything. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned.
What did your doctor say when you...
And I stood up and I gave him my cane. He just, for 5 minutes, he said nothing.
You know, he said there's no real scientific answer that he could come up with.
For Vargas, this is familiar territory. In 2003, she did a report for ABC News titled Jesus, Mary, and Da Vinci, following on the Da Vinci Code. 2 years later, she reported Resurrection, A Search for Answers. And she's also the... narrator of a History Channel documentary via ABC News called Last Days on Earth, which presents 7 possible apocalyptic doomsday scenarios. And you can order all of them on DVD at Amazon.com, by the way. Elizabeth, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, nice to be with you.
Hey, nice to have you here. Thank you for your time. What brought you to this week's particular story?
Well, this is, as you were saying in your intro, I've done a lot of reporting on various religious subjects in my years here at ABC. This, I think, will be my 4th or 5th primetime special. And this Friday happens to be not only Good Friday, which is an important day in the Christian calendar, but also the 5th anniversary of Pope John Paul II's death. And there's a rigorous investigation at the Vatican underway right now on whether or not they have found the first of the miracles that need to be attributed to him in order for him to become a saint. From the day of his death, as you know, a lot of people were calling in St. Peter's Square, Santo Subito, which means sainthood now, and there continues to be sort of a real push by a lot of people for sainthood for him.
You mentioned this, the big investigation on that, but timing-wise, it's a little weird this week, isn't it, to be focused on that when much of the media and the news media is focused on this other investigation around the Vatican?
Well, our hour centers mostly on miracles and not on the Vatican per se, except in relation to the way it rigorously investigates miracles. So 80% of Americans believe in miracles, which is an incredibly high number. It crosses all religious lines and has been that high actually pretty consistently for decades. But I was even more surprised to see in recent polling that anywhere from 38 to 45% of Americans think they have personally witnessed a miracle or experienced a miracle. So our special on Friday night really focuses on the miracles, different miracle stories of ordinary Americans, whether or not you believe them. You get to see the story and see it all play out. The peg just happens to be that right now there's an investigation into a French nun and whether or not her healing of Parkinson's disease was a miracle that could be attributed to Pope John Paul II.
Mm-hmm. And as a reporter looking at this, are you able to maintain the objectivity of, you know, not necessarily believing or believing and just, you know, following it as a story, or, you know, do you?
Oh, sure. I mean, we do that with all kinds of stories.
Yeah.
These are just incredible stories. They're certainly unexplained. The doctors in all of these cases that we talk about cannot explain what happened. In one case, we have a young man who was a college athlete and track star who was a pole vaulter and literally cracked his skull wide open. And they thought he wouldn't even survive, but if he did survive, that he would be brain dead. And, you know, after a few days in intensive care in a coma, all of a sudden wakes up and begins to move and walk and talk and is a perfectly normally functioning human being. We interview the doctor. He can't explain. There's no medical explanation for it. So, listen, you can draw, anybody can draw their own conclusions, and I won't tell you which ones, but a couple of the stories I had an eyebrow cocked, but on some of them, listen, all the doctors say we can't explain it.
Mm. You mentioned that 80 surveys show that, I feel like I'm on Family Feud. Survey show? You said that 80% of Americans believe in miracles. Do you think we're too eager to accept something as a miracle?
I don't know. It's a very it's an interesting question. And we talked to a skeptic leads a movement of modern-day skeptics. Is very well known in that area about, you know, what doesn't believe in miracles and thinks that, you know, a lot of this is just we don't know yet why some people spontaneously heal of cancer or why, you know, somebody like actress Natasha Richardson could fall on a ski slope a year ago this week, I believe, and die of a brain injury. And this young man could have a much more catastrophic brain injury that he not only survives but is completely, 100% normal again. It's certainly possible there are things we don't know. And we went to the Vatican for this, and I asked, you know, their miracle researchers about that. But maybe we just don't know the answer yet. The other aspect of it that you can't ignore is that people, you know, in dire circumstances, even are skeptic. I said, okay, you're a father too. You're an atheist. You don't believe in miracles, but you're also a father. And what if one of your children suffered a terrible accident? Would you pray for a miracle? And he said, I would. So I think that is inherently, it's part of it is a human response when facing something really terrible. A lot of people do end up praying for something that even they might only halfway believe in, although, as I said, a variety of polling shows a majority of people do believe in it.
Hmm. I remember living in Clearwater, Florida, I guess it's been 2 decades now, when someone looked at the side of a glass office building, it's about a 4-story office building, and became convinced that the image of Jesus Christ had appeared there. And, a religious group wound up buying the building and trying to preserve the glass. And, you know, believers believed and non-believers just shook their heads.
Well, you'll find that the official church is extremely reluctant to embrace any of those. Stigmata, bleeding statues, that sort of thing. Even Lourdes and Medjugorje, where people have gone for decades and decades and decades and really believe that the water is holy and that people, children had visions. The church has been very careful, the Vatican, to distance itself from that. The miracles we deal with, and 99% of the miracles that are used to declare saints, because each saint needs 2 miracles attributed to him or her. And 99.9% of these are medical miracles because they can be scientifically documented according to the Vatican. You can get x-rays, you can get MRIs, you can get CAT scans, slides, samples from tumors themselves. In the case of one woman tonight, the Vatican spent 10 years investigating. You know, they have a whole team of doctors who are experts in every field, neurology, oncology, gynecology, heart doctors, brain doctors, lung doctors, you name it. And they require every single scrap of medical evidence. They'll travel to the community and interview all the doctors, all the nurses, all the witnesses in an effort to ascertain what this is a far different thing from looking up at a window and saying, I think I see an image.
But I'm playing skeptic here because I have to ask you. I mean, you talk about how serious their investigation is of things, but you know, on the other side, coming back to the current scandal with the pedophile priests and stuff, their idea of an investigation is that if there's information that they don't want to give out, then they just keep it to themselves. Doesn't that kind of hurt the credibility?
That is a completely different subject and a completely different area. I mean, we're not dealing with that. I don't think there's any defense on that. I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not reporting on that. We're reporting on how their doctors investigate whether or not there are medical miracles, and that is certainly the Consulta Medica is something that we can, you know, has opened its records to us and has been very careful and scrupulous. And even the leading skeptic in the United States that we talk to says the Vatican very rightly is very, very rigorous about this and, you know, doesn't at all question the thoroughness of their investigation.
Well, let me ask you this.
The doctors investigating are Catholic. Some of them are Jewish, and some of them are of different faiths. They are all. Okay. They all. The only requirement is that they be experts. Some of them, they don't even have to believe in miracles.
What I was going to ask you was this: if something that 100 years ago would have been declared even a medical miracle today would probably be explained by science. A lot of them, anyway. Maybe not all, but so my question is. Is a miracle, is it magic, like on the old TV show Bewitched, or is it just science awaiting an explanation?
Well, that's the question that we deal with tonight. I mean, it depends, you know, a lot, as I said, I asked that question of Reverend Sarna, who is Monsignor Sarna, who's in the Vatican, and I happen to think, I said the same thing, you know, we didn't know at one point about a polio vaccine. Maybe, you know, maybe we're going to find out in 20 years that something that we don't know of now helped heal somebody. So, even Monsignor Sarno says it requires a leap of faith. The problem is at this point, for example, I asked the skeptic at one point, you rightly point out that at some point it becomes inexplicable. Nobody can understand it. Nobody can explain it. You know, for a cure to be a miracle, it has to be instant, it has to be complete, and it has to last forever and completely inexplicable. So those four criteria. But even if it meets that criteria, it still takes a leap of faith. So I asked our skeptic. I said, well, you know, you argue rightly they can't prove it's a miracle because you can't prove God said, your cancer will be gone. And that it was God doing that. But I said, can you prove it wasn't a miracle? And he said, well, no, I can't prove it either. So what it comes down to is each side saying, you know, something odd happened here, and one side saying it must just be something we don't know yet, and the other side saying we think that there was a prayer chain to this specific person and that this resulted in a miracle happening.
Mm. Well, I guess if you know that 80% of Americans believe in miracles, then doing a special report on it, you certainly know there's going to be a lot of people interested in seeing it.
Oh, we certainly hope so. We've been, you know, I mean, we would, you know, but I think these are human stories of people who've gone through extraordinary, you know, circumstances, and whether you believe it's a miracle or not, it's certainly, you know, these are amazing experiences that have happened to ordinary families in America.
Well, and Elizabeth, before you go, I want to ask you this. You've covered an awful lot of subjects in your career, including, from what I'm researching, a lot of child-oriented stories. And I just kind of wonder, in general, what do you look for? Is it the emotion, the drama? Is it that there's a debate going on about something? What attracts you?
I just think a good story is something you recognize as soon as you see it. It's something with a lot of human drama. It's something that, you know, can have major and overarching implications. I think when we did the Cambodian orphan, scandal. That was a huge. It had an impact on a lot of American families who had unwittingly adopted children from Cambodia who weren't in fact orphans, and Cambodian mothers who were so poor they sold their babies for $15. And you know, that hour-long investigation, you know, exposed a lot humanity and conditions in Cambodia. Mothers so desperate that they would sell their babies. you know, a woman who went to prison for child trafficking here in the United States. Adoptions were shut down in Cambodia, and then we saw this the exact same thing and allegations of the exact same thing happening in Haiti. So, you know, it can be big stories like that with major international, you know, implications, or it can just be a small story about one person who did something extraordinary. We like to keep it interesting and varied.
All right. Well, folks, listen, you can catch, Elizabeth Vargas's 2020 special report on miraculous recoveries and the challenges of sainthood this Friday, April 2nd at 10 p.m. on ABC. And Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And for more interviews with America's top journalists, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Pulitzer Prize winners and many more. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. And no, that's not miracle, that's science. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate it when you give up a little piece of your day to spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.